Okay, so according to my watch, it's time to get started. So this is the title of the presentation, What's New in OpenSSR 2.0 and StarOffice 8. My name is Erwin Tenenberg. I'm a product marketing manager at Sun Microsystems, responsible for OpenOffice.org and StarOffice. What I will try to do here is to do mostly a live demo of the new features in OpenOffice.org and StarOffice. So you have to suffer through this with me. So live demos are always a bit tricky, so I don't know if everything will work as I expect it to work, but we'll see. So some of the things you will see might not be new, some of the things will be new, I guess. Maybe you can also get some new ideas or some tips about how you can do different things. I don't know, you will see. Okay, can you actually understand? Can everybody understand me correctly? Is everything okay? Okay, because it's hard for me to. Actually, it might be difficult at some point with the live demo and the mic here with the cable, but we'll see how I can manage that. Just two slides in the beginning about highlights. What are key elements of OpenOffice.org and StarOffice, OpenOffice 2.0 and StarOffice 8? So I think the most important one is the Oasis Open Document format. Although, from a pure user perspective, it's probably not that exciting that there is this new file format, because, I mean, typical user doesn't really care about the file format. I think it's very important if you look at things like what's happening at the state of Massachusetts, the EU recommendation, more or less, by the European Commission last year. So, and those kind of things are happening across the world or across the globe. So I think that's very important. Then one feature which has been in Microsoft Word for a while, but many people have asked for it to get it into Writer. So OpenOffice.org's word processing application is the format paintbrush, so that you can copy and paste formatting information within a document with this little paintbrush. The enhanced PDF export. So in the past we had this basic PDF export, but now we can really export things like hyperlinks, bookmarks, and everything, thumbnail images for presentations. So that is very useful, I think. Then from a I think from optic point of view, the biggest change is in the presentation tool. So Impress has changed quite a bit. So now it looks much more like Microsoft PowerPoint. Actually, recently I heard from someone else in the US at Sun that he was doing, a customer presentation, and he brought up StarOffice 8. And so the customer said, oh, wait a minute, you are allowed to use that at your company? And then he said, oh, never mind. So then the customer first thought that the Sun person was using PowerPoint, but then realized, oh, wait a minute, no, that's not PowerPoint, that's StarOffice. Okay, so that looks very much like PowerPoint, and it also now supports all the auto shapes, slide animations, slide transition and everything, so that you can really import the Microsoft Office documents. And then we have the new database front end, so Base, for those who want to have a want to create simple databases for doodle all kinds of or deal with all kinds of data. XForm support is very new. Typo. It should be a capital F. So XForm support allows to create XML-based forms, and XForm is an official standard. So I have to admit that I first thought this is not that exciting, but when I started blogging about it and talking a bit about the functionality, I got a lot of responses and a lot of feedback. So apparently it's more exciting than I personally initially expected it to be. Multilingual and native installation. So now we support the native installation methods like RPM files on things like on operating systems like Linux or the MSI files on Windows. We have new mail merge with it. And then StarOffice comes now with some migration tools. But those are only available in the Enterprise Edition of StarOffice, which is not more expensive just because it's called Enterprise Edition. It's it's just a different pricing model with where you pay based on the number of users. Okay, so now let me go to the live demo. And I think this, with this microphone and everything, this really represents this current situation, I guess. So we'll see how it goes. So let me bring up the first file, which actually is a PowerPoint template that I got from the Microsoft website. And so if I just take this template and say, and type a URL here. Okay, that was possible before. Something wrong? Yeah, that's a good idea. That helps. Yeah, that happens when you let marketing people deal with technical issues. Yeah, okay. So, but what is more interesting probably is on this slide, for example, where you have a few, you can see a few outer shapes, and in the past these were not imported correctly, but now they are imported correctly, and you can still modify them, so that is possible now. What I also mentioned earlier is that the PDF export has improved quite a bit. I just reuse this file name. Say yes, overwrite. And now we have all kinds of options here for changing image compression and everything. So let me do the export. Okay, bring up the accurate reader. I could have done it before, sorry. Okay, here is the presentation. What's new with the PDF export is that now you actually can see the thumbnail images here on the left, or with text documents you can see the actual table of contents or something like that. And also, as you can see here, the icon changes, so it actually is using the hyperlinks, or is also generating the hyperlinks. So that's what you now can do with the PDF export. Let me think. Then on the right side here, you can, or in totally overall, you can see that on the left side you have this this overview of the overview of the different slides, and on the right side you can assign all kinds of things like layouts or also all the different animation effects. I don't know. Oh, by the way, I'm currently realizing that I'm using the German version. I changed that in a second. Let me think. Which brings me to one other thing, which is also new. Not load and save language settings, because I can just change my user interface language. I set it back to English. The only thing I have to do is to restart, but I can do that. No, I do not want to save the changes. Quickly. That's what I meant with suffering with me through this. Presentation. There it was. Okay, and now it's English, as I hoped it to be. Okay, so again, no custom animation. Let me think. Fly in. Okay, from the left. Then let me think. Let's bring up the word processing tool. So one thing I only talked about is that now we have this format paintbrush, and for those of you who do not know what that means, is I will just change the formatting of this one, say bold blue, and now I can just select this, click on this format paintbrush, and copy and paste the formatting information here. So it's you still should use styles, and actually you can also use a paintbrush to copy styles. But if you do want to do some quick and dirty formatting, then this is very useful and was one of the most frequently requested features, interestingly. One other thing is, let me one thing you can now do with Rider is using digital signatures. So, that was, okay. So if you have a certificate from whatever trust center, so this is just one that I created from a German free mailer, just for demo purposes, you can assign digital signatures to your document. And then here on the bottom, it shows that it's digitally signed. And if I now make more changes, then the digital signature goes away because I made those changes. Then what else? I go to Open Database. So one thing that is also very new in OpenOffice and stuff is a new database front end. So in the past, it was very difficult to find the database tool because you had to really know where to look for the different parts. And now we can just say new database or open database. So I open an existing one. Okay. So this user interface is already similar to what you might know from Microsoft Access. And one of the things that also is new is the wizard to create new tables. So if you are not very savvy with databases, so if you're not that familiar with creating databases, you can use this table wizard to create the table that you might need, like for business purposes to, I don't know, manage assets, categories, contacts, or for personal use, something like, I don't know, your CD or DVD collection. Then you can select some of these fields or all of them, define the different field types, set a primary key, and then create the table. Just similarly for forms, you can create new forms using a wizard. And so in this case, I use the existing customer table. And say, okay, I want to use all those fields from that are in that table. Then I can add subforms if I want to. Then I define how I want to arrange the different controls. So I choose this layout. And then apply some different style if I want to. And set name, okay, finish. Okay, so by doing so, I've created a simple form for managing my address data or whatever I want to use it for. Which leads me back to the text application, or to Rider. So one thing that is also new is that I have now improved mail merge with it, which makes it easier to create mail merges. So I guess just go to Tools, Mail Merge Wizard. And here I can say, oh, I want to use the current document as a basis for my mail merge. Do I want to do letter? Yes. Here I have to define what the address should look like. And there are different templates here. And you can also change what what the different fields from the database table should be matched to. Then I can define if I want to have some personalized salutation or not. Here I can adjust the layout, so where exactly the address field should appear, and where the salutation should appear. Okay. And save merge documents, for example, save documents to, let's pick mailing. Okay, let me open one of those. Okay, and this is one of the created documents. One other thing that is new is that there's a new word count function. So now you can go to tools, word count, and do it on a selected text or selected paragraph. In the past, you were only able to do that from via file, properties, statistics. And here you only got the total count of words and total count of characters. But now we can go to tools, word count, to get those numbers for the whole document, but also for the current selection. One thing about, do you have any questions in between? Maybe I should ask. I will also ask or answer question at the end, but feel free to interrupt me to make this slightly more interactive before you fall asleep. Any questions so far about any of the features I've shown so far? Okay, no questions. Oh!
In the database, is it possible to load the data from a file to put it in the table?
Unfortunately, that's not possible yet, as far as I know. I'm not aware of anything like that. However, so in today you would have to use which say the import capabilities of the database that you are using to do that. So one thing I didn't mention with the database tool, but you have still have the exist the old option to use a central database server as a backend system for your forms and everything and your tables. But now with OpenAuthor 2.0 and StarOps 8, you also can use so-called self-contained databases where all information, the data, the table definition, and everything is stored in just one file, so that you can use this file or create this file and then send it via email to someone else, and this someone else can actually open the database file and use the data right away without having to install a database server or something like that. Because in the past with something like MySQL or so, you didn't have that option. However, in a corporate environment, for example, you might prefer the central database like my previous speaker already pointed out. Okay, so let me think, which document do I use? Let me think, I use this one. So macros. One area that has been drastically improved is within the spreadsheet application that we now have better support for pivot tables. So actually in Impress or stuff that are called Data Pilot. So this little table or pivot table or slash data pilot shows some fake revenue numbers that I made up. And one thing that is now possible with OpenOffice and StarOffice, which was not possible before, is, for example, to create new groups. So here you see different countries, the quarters, and then the revenue numbers for these quarters, and then you the total rows. And now I just selected Germany and UK and can say data, outline, group, and now I created a new group for those two countries, and those two are European countries, so I type Europe, which now allows me to, for example, collapse this line so that I just get the results for Europe, for example. One other thing is, I just remove this again, go to country, options, options again, and say, okay, I want to see or sort them, send it by country or no, by revenue. And I say I want to see only the first, let me say, 3 items. So now I only see the 3 items with the largest revenues. So US comes first, UK, then Japan. And now I might want to know, okay, so now I have the total numbers. Well, what actually is the difference between the US and the UK and Japan and the US? And so I go to some revenue options, more, and say, okay, the displayed value should not be the value itself, but the difference from something else. So let's say it should be the difference from between the actual number and the US. Okay, so for the US it doesn't show anything because it would be zero anyway, because the US would, compared with the US would be zero. And here you can see the difference between UK and the US in the first quarter and everything, and here for Japan. So these kind of options did not exist in the older versions of StarOffice or OpenOffice or Calc. And one other thing that was an issue in the past was that in the past we did not support documents that had more than 32,000 rows, but now we actually support the same number as Microsoft Excel. Not that an average user does have to deal with these kind of large documents, but we got quite often feedback that some customers were using large documents mainly as replacements for databases or something similar, where they were not able to really import those documents and use those documents. Let me think. One feature that is also new in OpenOffice and StarOffice is the XForm support. Just open existing XForm support. And so if you are not familiar with XForms, one of the key things that make them so unique, or actually there are 2 things that make them unique. One is it's a standard, so it's a public standard. And the other one is that you can do a lot of things without programming. So you still need to know how XForms works, but you do not really have to be a programmer once you have understood the syntax. So if I go into the design mode, for example, and click here on, let me think, this one, click here on control, then I can see that there is this field relevant here, and that says, okay, this email address is only relevant if make contact is true. And make contact is actually this one, this checkbox here. So that means, as I showed already, if I click here, this is grayed out and gets deactivated. But if I click on this, it gets activated. And also, it's very easy to define what happens if you submit this form. And actually, in this case, it's written to a file. Let me bring up a terminal window. So in this case, you can see that it just contains the plain XML data, including the email address. Whereas if I deselect this and submit it again, the email address is left out. So there are a lot of things that are automatically done where you do not have to do a lot of programming or development. And that's the beauty of XForms. And let me quickly open one other XForms document, which is a bit more complicated one, which shows actually an application of another standard, UBL, but that's not what I really wanted to show. But here you can see that if, let me think, where's the large number here, for example, if I change this to 3, this here gets grayed out. If I make it higher again, this becomes active again. And so if we look at how that is configured, Control. It says here it's relevant only if a specific number is greater or equal to 500. So you can define a lot of dependencies and even calculations by just doing that. For example, calculations would be this one. Okay, control. Here you can see that it just creates a sum of different items. Okay. Again, any questions so far?
Quick one. Is it supported to export forms to PDF?
Oh, the question is if we are able to export forms to PDF. And the answer is yes. Actually, I can just quickly try to do that. Toolbars, form controls. Let me try text element here. No, checkbox here. Okay, it doesn't look. Control. Whoops. Did I do? Whatever. Okay, let's just say export to PDF. Form. Oop, did it already export it? Did I leave the window open with the PDF? Ah, here. File open. Oops. Okay, so I did not add any more information there, so it's very basic, but you actually can create form documents or export form documents with a PDF export. Any other questions? Not the case?
Is that output to some database?
Pardon?
This data from this from this
PDF?
No, from PDF. From yes, it can be exported to the MySQL database.
From the you mean?
From this order that we made before.
From the small database that I created earlier, or which one? Or from?
The one in which we could choose or euros or US dollars.
Ah, that one. Okay. So, you mean this one?
Yes.
So this would generate also XML data, which you can either store to a file, or you can also let me think. I don't know. I have to admit I did not create this document, so I'm not the expert on this document about all the different functionality. But edit submission. So here you can also say, okay, it should be a post-get, and by doing that, you can actually send the information also to web services, for example, to some web form or something. And then you have different options. I mean, there is no function built in to directly send it to a database, but you can either use the XML file that you generate with the submit form and combine it with some additional code, or then convert it to some database format or import it to a database, or use the submit functionality to send the data to some kind of web form, web service, and which takes the data and puts it into a database. So there are different options how you can use that. And I have to admit, the XForms functionally is just the first start. It's similar to the PDF export in 1.1. So the PDF export in 1.1 was a basic PDF export. It was very, very useful, but it did not have all the functionality that we have today with the bookmark support, the hyperlinks and everything. And I would say with the XForms functionally in StarOffice and OpenOffice, it's similar. I mean, it's a good start and you can already do a few things or a lot of interesting things, but there are probably also a lot of scenarios that we do not support yet where we have to add some additional functionality. So it's almost like a teaser so that people get interested in this technology and start using it, and then more functionality needs to be added in the future. Okay. Let me close some of those documents here. One thing. One thing that was not possible in the past with Writer, for example, which I just recall, is that you were not able to create tables within tables. So in the past, you weren't able to do something like this, that you had a table within a table. It's not something that you do every day, but there were a few customers who were doing it and had therefore some import-export issues with Microsoft documents. And one little trick that I also had to learn is that I personally don't like it that you have this extra line here, which you cannot get rid of right now. But if you type some text, for example, mark it and then just click here, then it creates this or a table within a table without any extra space around it. And then, I don't know, you can expand it to whatever you want it to. Okay, let me close this one. Okay, now I come to some more trickier demos, which are StarOffice related, which are, for example, about the management tools that we are shipping with StarOffice 8. Okay, so there I go to this window. And I have, for this management tool, you need some kind of server environment running somewhere. So for example, an LDAP server, I'm using an LDAP server for the user information, and a web server that provides the web-based front end. So I'm now accessing the console for this for this management tool. And unfortunately, running server system from laptops is not always the best thing, especially if you're also using the laptops for your regular day-to-day work with changing IP addresses all the time and everything. So I hope everything goes fine. So I just logged into the system. This tool actually was designed to even manage more than just StarOffice. So we have a version that also manages Mozilla and some of the other desktop applications. But now I want to focus on StarOffice. And actually with this tool, or what you can do with this tool, is that you can manage all the configuration data in your application of the StarOffice that you would typically find under Tools Options. So there are more and less useful things like, let me look, I think it's under StarOffice, security, for example. So with this web-based tool, you can, for example, change some security settings, for example, if people are allowed to use macros and from where, with this web-based infrastructure. And with this web-based tool, it allows you to, or the web-based tool here, allows to use to manage all the configuration of hundreds or thousands of users without having to run to all the different desktop systems to do that, or to implement some other technologies yourself. Just to use a more colorful example, appearance, let me think. Was it here? No. 1 second. Okay, I go to view and let's change, for example, the icon size to large. Not that that is the most important use case, but at least it's something we can easily monitor here. So currently it's these are still the small icons, but if everything works correctly, the icons should change in a second. I already saved it. Because it's depending on the configuration, it waits a few seconds and then it pulls for, or the application pulls for the information from the server again and then updates the system. I hope this is not the situation where I get embarrassed because my live demo does not work. Okay, so this is the point apparently where it currently does not work. But I do not want to waste the time right now with figuring out why it's not doing it, what I expect it to be. That might be the case where it suffers from the situation that, it's my day-to-day work system with IP address changes all the time and things like that. Okay, so maybe I can show you later again, but let me quickly go to something else for a minute then, which are the migration tools. So Starface 8 ships with two different kinds of migration tools. One tool I can actually one tool is a document analysis wizard, which actually leverages an existing installation of Microsoft Office to load documents, analyze what's in those documents, and then creating some kind of report that shows how many issues are in those documents. So for example, this is a report of existing Microsoft documents. So we had 17 Word documents, two Word templates, 144 spreadsheet documents, and 190 presentations. And so this diagram, for example, shows how old the different documents were. So most of them were pretty new. Less older ones, though this kind of diagram already shows you how many documents are actually relevant for a migration. So in a real life scenario, probably there would be much more documents which had not been accessed for, I don't know, months or maybe even years. And it's less likely that those documents are relevant for a migration. Then this diagram shows how many documents there are that have potentially macro issues. And here on the right side, you can, for example, see based on our experience, how complex those macros are, those issues. And here we look at general document migration issues. So we still are aware of a few things that we do not import correctly yet. And those kind of issues are listed here. And then on the next, you can actually type in what the costs per man day are, more or less. So these numbers are used for some of the other calculations. And here you can get a list of the documents. So you can see what documents are affected, what the issues count is, if they have micro migration issues or not. And so here's a large number of details about the current situation. So it really helps to do an assessment of your current situation and to help to estimate the cost of a migration. And once you have done that, you can use this tool, which is a macro migration tool. So the goal of the macro migration tool, at least initially, was not or is not to do 100% automatic migration of all macros, because that's a much bigger task. However, we just try to focus on the most frequently used APIs. So what we are doing is we are collecting macro documents or documents containing macros from customers, either that we get either directly from the customers or via Starve's migration partners. For example, in Germany, we have quite a few Starve's migration partners, and they provide us with those documents. And so we look at those documents and see what kind of issues they have, and then try to map the original VBA macro code to the Starve's API. So with this tool, I can select a directory where all the different documents are located. I can say what kind of documents I want to look at. And I just run this. Yep. So the macro migration tool takes a while to configure itself, to connect to StarOffice and everything, because this tool uses StarOffice to actually migrate those documents over. So it takes a while to connect and migrate those over. One second. Silence, okay. My system is still doing something, so. Okay. So it just migrates seven documents or seven macros that are in those documents over to the StarOffice API. And the way how it does it is that we are using some kind of mapping table that translates them over. And then we also use some kind of special compatibility layer to map some of the more special functionalities. Okay. Yet? Okay. Cancel. Okay, file. Open. Let me pick a simple one. I don't know, this one. Okay, in this case, I want to enable macros. So this is a very simple macro, which... It's a very simple macro, okay, yeah. Which fills the table just with different dates and everything. So nothing too exciting, nothing too special, but that is one example for migrating the macros. So let me think if I covered the most important things. Any more questions? Yes.
This tool is only in StarOffice or even in OpenOffice?
The last two tools that I showed are only in StarOffice, so the management tool and the migration tools. Everything else I showed is also in OpenOffice.org. So those are the two enterprise tools, I can say, are the things where Sun tries to provide value at, which we offer and sell. Yes.
Another one.
Yes.
There was a connecting to StarOffice. This means that StarOffice is acting like a server.
Okay. Actually, it's more or less, yes. It is more or less acting as a server, yes?
How can I use StarOffice like a server?
So the question was how StarOffice can be used on a server or acting like a server. Are you familiar with the SDK? There's a software development kit, and that provides some examples how you can do, for example, remote controlled StarOffice. Actually, one second. Maybe do I have it on this machine? Once we're done with the other things, I can might be able to show one or two examples of the SDK. But the SDK software development kit, which is actually available for both OpenOffice and StarOffice, provide some examples that show how you can generate documents from using the APIs, how you can, I don't know, export PDF files from the API, how you can convert different document types using the API on the server side, or potentially on the server side. Any additional other questions? That is apparently not the case. So I'm actually done with my demo. I can't think of anything else, any major features that have been added which I haven't mentioned yet. One thing I mentioned earlier is that we now support the native file format. So for example, this is a directory that includes all the different RPM files. So you can also install StarOffice or OpenOffice by just using the RPM files or the installer that comes with it. That's the other option. And on Microsoft Office, Windows, for example, it would be MSI files, or on Solaris, the Solaris packaging system. Okay, so if there are no additional questions, I can quickly look at the SDK examples, for which I... Yes, sure.
Is there some risk of functions that depends on Java?
There are, so the question was if there are some features that depend on Java. They actually are. So for example, some part of the database application depend on Java, and some of the wizards that have been implemented within OpenOffice and StarOffice depend on Java, yes. That's one example. Pardon?
That means you have to run a JVM on the PC to have those features.
Yes, for some of the features you need a JVM, yes. With StarOffice, we bundle, for example, the Sun JVM, but there are also some work going on to support other JVMs, either both commercial JVMs and open source JVMs.
You have to install them apart from StarOffice. You have to have them already on the PC.
If you already have a JVM installed on your PC, then that can be used by OpenOffice or StarOffice. But otherwise, for example, StarOffice also can install a JVM. OpenOffice.org, some OpenOffice.org distributions, I would say, also include a JVM. Some don't. Well, depends on.
And a particular version you have to have on it. Let's say 1.4, 1.5.
The question was if you need a specific version of the JVM. I don't know the correct answer to that. I think everything above 1.4 something is I think okay. I'm not sure if older JVMs work, but that's I think the answer. But that should be listed on the OpenOffice website or the StarOffice website. This web-based tool for the management tool, that is not part of the retail package that you can buy in stores, but that is part of the so-called enterprise edition. The enterprise edition, or the main difference between this retail package and the enterprise edition, is that for the enterprise edition, there's a different pricing model because there it depends on the number of users. So it goes down to, I think, as low as $35 or something. If you have a larger number of users, think about 10,000 of users, that's the list price. And then it depends on what else you buy, what the final price would be. But that is part of the Enterprise Edition. And the smallest package that you can get from the Enterprise Edition is, I think, now with StarOffice 8.5. So you would have to have 5 desktops, you would have to buy the 5 license to get also this access to the enterprise tools that I showed. In the past, the smallest package was 25 licenses, but we broke it further down to 5, I think. Yeah, 5. Any other questions? If not, I will quickly take a look at this other SDA question about using StarOffice on the server side, but for that I will just switch the user because I'm not 100% sure if I have everything configured for this user here. Okay, just stop here. I don't need a new laptop. Ah, okay. In the meantime, if you have more questions, just ask me. Anything else I can try to answer? I don't know. But OpenOffice, StarOffice. Doesn't have to be about features. Oh, yes, there is a question.
The crop function is really bad. What are we going to do with that?
The what function?
The crop. If you take a screenshot of and you want to crop the picture.
Ah, okay. Good question. So the question was if there are any plans to improve the crop functionality within StarOffice. And I have to say that I'm not aware of any plans. So far it has not been a high priority, I would have to say. It just depends on user feedback and other input that we get and priorities. But it's good to get that feedback. So actually that brings up another question. If you have specific feedback about features that you would like to have changed, implemented, whatever, then just let us know. That doesn't mean that we can implement all the different wishes that we might have. I mean, like the crop functionality, it's very good to hear the input. If you hear it more often, then it definitely will get a higher priority. On the other hand, if there are other things that we need to fix first, then we probably would do that. But without the feedback, it's impossible to actually address those issues. Okay, so for some strange reasons, I don't see here anything more, but okay. Okay, so let's see if that works. Make. I haven't used it for a while, so I'm not sure if everything is correctly configured, but we'll see. So in theory, this little SDK sample should open up StarOffice and just, I don't know, create some simple documents by just adding some some content and doing some formatting and everything. Okay, it actually creates more than one document. So with all kinds of shapes and different kinds of formatting. So this was done using the APIs, and that is documented, this sample is part of the SDK, which you can simply modify for your purposes. And the SDK also includes a developer's guide, which explains what you have to do or how the different things work. So that shows how you can use StarOffice also as some kind of server. More questions? If that's not the case, then I release you for lunch, I think. I think that was the next topic or next agenda item. Oh, there's one more question.
I know it has been asked many times, but when is StarOffice 8 coming out?
Oh, I should have mentioned it. Then you probably left too early for the conference or something, because Starve's Aid was released this week. So on Tuesday, Sun officially released StarOffice. And if the next question is, okay, what about OpenOffice? So, right now we are releasing the RC1, the release candidate 1. And very shortly after that, we expect 2.0. So currently, we do not expect any major changes, fixes, whatever. So it should be out very soon.
So the code base of StarOffice 8 is slightly older than code base of the final OpenOffice tool.
Yes, obviously there is a slight difference, at some point there were no major changes to the core functionality anymore, so that we decided, okay, we take this to release StarOffice. So most of the changes that have happened within the last few weeks for OpenOffice, or for example, were most related to localizations and porting and things like that. Maybe a few other things, but those, if there are any other things that make it into OpenOffice 2.0, which were not initially in StarOffice 8, if there is anything major, then definitely it will be available as a patch shortly, in a few months, a few weeks, actually.
And last question. How come that when you had German set as language, some parts were not translated? Is this some pre-release version, or, for example, in the Impress program, you had the right, I don't know how is it called.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not 100% sure what was wrong with my system here today, so I would defer that question. But this, I think on this one I have the latest build installed. I think I have, yeah. Okay, so then it's lunchtime. Thank you.